The seventh parak actually has nothing to do with Bechoros. We are going to talk about Kohanim and the psulim of Kohanim that disqualify them from doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why it comes after the prior parak, because there's going to be a lot of similarities in the psulim, as we'll see shortly. Now, just an important introduction. There are actually three different levels of mumim, of blemishes when it comes to a Kohen. And this is actually brought by the Bartanura a little bit later in the parak, and we'll go through it because it's going to give us good context. So the first type of mumim that applies to the Kohen is the same mumim that we saw in the prior parak as it relates to animals. So in that situation, whenever a Kohen has the mumim that we saw that disqualify the animals from being brought in the Beis HaMikdash, if such a Kohen would, despite having such a mumim, do the avodah, he would receive lashes for that. And not only that, but his avodah would be invalid. That is going to be our classification number one. Classification number two are going to be certain mumim, and this is going to be the primary focus of our parak, mumim that apply to a people. We're talking about Kohanim in particular here, but not to animals. So these mumim would apply just to the Kohanim, disqualify the Kohanim from doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, but would not disqualify the animals from being brought as korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. If the Kohen, nonetheless, despite having such a mumim, did the avodah in this situation, he would still receive malchus, but the avodah itself would not be disqualified. It would not have to be redone. And then the third classification of mumim are not intrinsically blemishes in the Kohen, but it's called by Chazal because of maris ayin. It is simply an unpleasant appearance for the Kohen. It's not an unusual appearance that people would be staring at him and he looks bizarre. That's not the situation. But it's an unpleasant appearance, and we'll have this flagged in a number of cases in our parak. And in that situation, not only will there not be malchus when the Kohen does the avodah, the avodah will be kosher as well. So we have three different classifications. We are primarily going to be discussing classification number two in this parak, although we will mention a few classifications number three, that they're going to be neither malchus and also not invalidating the avodah done by the Kohen. Okay, based on that background, Mishnah Aleph is going to connect the prior parak talking about the blemishes of the animals to the blemishes of the Kohen. Mumim Elu, those mumim that we listed in the prior parak as they applied to animals and validating the animals from being brought as korbanos, ben kvuin ben ovrim, whether they are permanent or whether they are not permanent, they will heal, but they exist right now, poslim ba'adam, not only will those invalidate the animals from being brought as korbanos, but it will invalidate a person as well, talking about the Kohen. The Kohen cannot do the avoda when he has any of the psulim listed in the prior parak. Yoser aleim ba'adam, however, in our parak, we are going to add on. And we're going to add on from classification two and classification number three and classification number two, which will be the main focus of our parak, hakilon, a pointy head. That's a Kohen who has a pointed head. V'halaftan, he has a wide head on top. These are psulim that are unusual. Hamakavan, he has a hammerhead. It's focused in the front. It juts out in the front, juts out in the back. V'sharoshuk shakua, or his head is flat in front. Ushkifas, or it's flat in back. And in addition, Ubale Hachototeres, this is talking about a hunchback, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not going to be a problem for Chachamim Poslim. Chachamim say it is a psul. Now, what we're talking about here is not when the hunchback is a result of a bone structure, an abnormal bone structure. We're talking about that there's no abnormal bone structure. It's simply because of additional flesh that the person likes, looks like a hunchback. In that situation, with that, we have the machlokas, whether that will disqualify the Kohen or not. Nishna Beis, we are now going to the head. If the person is bald, puzzle, that will disqualify in Mezu Kereach. But let's actually define what that means. Kol she'en lo shita shel se'ar makefet me'ozen le'ozen. We are talking about somebody who does not have any hair, a row of hair in the back. If we would draw a line between the top of the ear and the top of the ear and the back of the head, if there is hair beneath that line, then that is not the psul we're talking about. So if he does not have that row of hair, that is the psul v'im yesho. However, if he does have that row of hair, Hareza Kasher, he will be able to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Now we are going to try to define, there are a number of psulim that are listed out in Vayikra Chafalev that say that the Kohen is going to be disqualified if he has the psul. One of them is the giben. And we're going to have a machloket. What does that mean that when a Kohen is a big giben, he cannot do the avod in the Beis HaMikdash? And we're going to have three opinions. What does this mean, a giben? Opinion number one, ein lo gvinim, that he doesn't have any eyebrows, or ein lo ela gavinachad, he only has one eyebrow. He is a unibrow. Opinion on what? Number one, the Tanakama, who giben hamur batorah, that is the giben that is listed in the Torah as a disqualifying blemish. Opinion number two is somewhat similar, explaining that the giben also is the eyebrows. Rabbi Dosa Omer, kosha gvinav shochvin, his eyebrows are so long that they hang over the eyes. So that is opinion number two. Rabbi Hanani ben Ategenos Omer, he is the third opinion. He says giben is not relating to the eyebrows. It's relating to the giben as a gav, to the back of the coin. And he says as follows, Mishi yesh lo shnei gabin ushtei shidraot. It gives off the appearance, the back of the coin. It looks like he has two backs and two spines. That is the giben that is listed in the Torah that will disqualify the coin. Mishnah Gimel, we're going to define hech. Harum, that's another one of the psulim listed in Vayikra Chaf Aleph. He Harum is puzzle. What does that mean? He Ezu Harum. It means that the Kohen, because his nose is sunken in, he is able to color his eyes all at the same time. In other words, the nose is not going to get in the way. He can go from one eye to the other, no problem, unencumbered because the nose is sunken in. Actually, interesting to note, harum, that word means destroyed, which means that the face has an appearance of being destroyed because the nose is sunken in. Shtei ein av lamal, if both of his eyes are in the wrong place, they're too high from a normal placement of eyes, ushtei ein av lamato, or the two eyes are too low than normally placed. Eino achas lamala, veino achas lamato, one is too high, one is too low. Roa es hacheder ve'es ha'aliya ke'achad. If they are both in the correct place, however, they are cross-eyed, such that one can see upstairs, can see the next story up, and one sees straight, so a cross-eyed individual. Sache Shemes, somebody who's very sensitive to the sun, so he's always squinting. Zugdus is a word that means that Zug is two. Dus is also a Roman word that means two. And it means that the eyes or other limbs don't match. An example that's brought by the Bartanur is that the eyes are different colors. That would be a psul as well. V'hatziron, there is constantly watering of the eyes of the Kohen. These, again, are all psulim, category number two psulim, that would invalidate the avoda. If the Kohen did do the avoda, he would receive malchus, but it would not, if he did the avoda, which he shouldn't have done, the avoda would still be kosher. On the other hand, we're now going to talk about category number three, an example of a shenashu risei einav, if his eyelashes fell out, that is a psul mipnei marisain. This is simply, it's not the proper appearance, so it's category number three. So if he went and did the avoda, which he shouldn't have, he would not receive malchus, and the avoda would be bidyeved, if he did it, would be kosher. Mishnah Dalet, we're continuing to talk about the various appearances back to category number two. Ein av gedolos kishel egel, if his eyes are so big, they are like the size of a calf, so super large eyes, or ketanos kishel avaz, or very small, like those of a goose. Gufo gadol me'evar, I was talking about that his torso, the middle part, the main part of his body, is larger. There is a mismatch between the size of his torso and the hands and the legs. Literally, the me'evarav are the limbs, or the reverse, or kata me'evarav, or the torso is proportionally much smaller than the arms and the legs. Chotmo gadol me'evarav, the nose is much larger than should fit on such a body. Okatamevarov, the nose is much smaller than would fit with the limbs. So there's just a misalignment, a mismatchment. Hatzimem vahatzimea. What does that mean? Hatzimem vahatzimea. So the Mishnah tells us now. Ezu tzimea sho'oznav ketanos. It means that his ears are very small relative to the body, relative to the head. Vatzimen sho'oznav domas lisfug. Tzimen is a psul that his ears are similar to a sponge. They're actually a machlokis. What does that mean? So it can mean either that it is like a dry sponge, so that it looks like the ears are all shriveled up, or it could be that the sponge is full of water, so it looks like the ears are swollen. Either way, it's going to be a psul because it's something that is highly unusual. Mishnah Hei, Shvasoha, Elyona, Odefes, Alatachtona. If his upper lip protrudes, it sticks out over the lower one, or the reverse, or the bottom lip sticks out past the upper one. Hareze mum, again, this is going to be classification number two. Mum, v'shenitla tshina pasul mibnei marazayin. If his teeth have been removed, so he's toothless, this is going to be because of marazayin. That means it's going to be a category number three, psul. Dadav, we're actually going back to category number two, psul, dadav shachvin kishalisha. He has breasts larger than normal, so it's like a woman's and they sag. Kreso tzava, his belly bulges. It's not talking about somebody who's heavy. It's an unusually large, huge bulge of the belly. Taburo yotze, he has an unusual belly button sticking out. Nichbe afilo achas liyamim, he has seizures, even if it's unusual. Ruach kitzris ba'alav, he has mental illness that pops out on occasion. Hamu'ushkan uba'al gever, this is talking about the genitalia, that he has an unusually large scrotum, or his reproductive organ is way too large. Ein lo beitzim, literally he has no testicles, but it means that he has both, but he has them both in one pouch. Usually there's one in a pouch and one in a pouch, so usually have two, and each has his own pouch. So here he has two, but they're both in one pouch. So ein lo ela beitza achas, literally he only has one beitza, but what it means is even if he has two pouches, but in those two pouches he has pouches set, one and two pouches, separate pouches, but they total only have one testicle between the two of them, that is again going to be a psul. And in addition, this is Zehu Meroach Ashach Amor Bator. It's another one of those psulim that are listed in Vayikra Chaf Aleph. So this is when it says Meruach Ashach in the Torah. This is opinion number one. We're going to have four opinions. What does it mean? Number two, opinion number two, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Kol Shenimruchu Ashachav, it means that his testicles were crushed. Number three, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kol Sheruach Ba'ashachav, it means that literally there's a lot of air in his testicles, but it means that they are swollen. Those three actually relate all to the genitalia. So it's saying the Meruach Ashach, that psul in the Torah, relate to the genitalia. We're going to have opinion number four, that's going to be different. Rabbi Chanina Ben Atigenes Omer, Kol Shemarav Chashuchim, when it says Meruach Ashach, Ashach is Choshech, means dark. Meruach means mar'eh, his view, how he looks, this individual, he has very dark skin, that would be the psul. Mishnevav, we're now going to talk about the feet and the legs, and we're going to talk about hamakish bakarsulav, that the feet, typically when somebody stands, the feet, the legs are straight, but such an individual, we're talking now about his ankles knock together. So what it's talking about is his ankles are together, but he's bow-legged, so the knees are not together, or the reverse, Ubar Kosav is Hamakish Bar Kosav is how to read it, that his knees are together, but his legs, his feet are separate. So it's the opposite of a bow leg. Ubal pika va'ikel. What are those two? Ezu ikel. What does that mean? Kol shemakif parsosav. Anyone when he's seated, when he's sitting down, he puts his feet together, but again, his knees do not come together. Va'ein arkosav noshkot zo. Even though that he's sitting down. And he put his feet together, but his knees do not come together. They don't touch. And pika, yotze migodalo, what is a pika? It means that he has round lump that is coming out of his big thumb or his big toe. Akevo yotze la'achorav, this is a situation that his leg is not placed at the back of the foot. The leg is actually connected to the middle of the foot. So literally the akev, the heel, comes out longer in back because the leg is not placed in the proper place. Parsaso rechava kishalavaz, if his foot is wide and flat like that of a goose, it's not like a normal human foot. Etzbeosav murkavot zo al zo, the fingers are curled up and they overlap one on the other, oklutot, or that they are attached with skin. So he has more webbed hands because the fingers are attached. And that is the situation, ad haperek kasher, if it's up until only the first joint, so we have the knuckle and then we have the first joint after the knuckle, if they're webbed together, the attachment with skin is only up until that first knuckle, that's going to be acceptable. If it goes past that, that's when it's going to be a psul. However, lamata min hakerek v'chatacha, if it went past that first knuckle and the Cohen has a sort of surgery and he had it cut so it doesn't extend now past that first knuckle, that is going to be kasher, that's not going to be a mum. If he had an extra finger or an extra toe and he had it surgically removed, If when he had it removed, it had a bone in that extra finger or the extra toe, that is going to be absul. The Bartuna explains, because now he is a kohen who is mechusar aver, who is missing a limb that he had before, v'imlav. However, if he had that extra finger or extra toe removed and it did not have a bone in it, then it's going to be kasher. Yaser biyadov of raglav, if he has extra fingers and toes, but this time it's not on one hand or one foot, but he has on all four, he has two hands, two feet, so and each one has an extra finger and toe, shesh v'shesh esrim v'arba, so each hand has six, each foot has six, for a total of 24 fingers and toes. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, Rabbi Yehuda says this is a balanced hand and feet. It's not like one hand is more than the other. Accordingly, this is going to be kosher. Chachamim poslim. Chachamim say this is a blemish that will invalidate that coin from acting in the avod in the Beis Hamikdash. Hasholet b'shtei yadav. If you have somebody who is ambidextrous, he can use both the right and the left hands. Rebbe posel. Rebbe is of the view that that is a psul. Why is that a psul? Because if he can use his left hand, for example, equally to the right hand, that means his right hand is not going to be as strong as a normal person, because he's also somebody who uses his left hand. So because the right is going to be lacking because he's ambidextrous, that is going to be a psul. V'chachamim achshir, chachamim say he's ambidextrous. They are both effective hands. Accordingly, there's no psul here. Now we're going to talk about the skin tone of the individual, skin color, hakushi, somebody who has black skin, vahagich, or red skin, vahalavkan, very white skin, vahakipkeach, that is somebody who's very tall and skinny, vahanana, somebody who's a midget, vahacher, somebody who's a deaf mute, vahashota, somebody who's insane, vahashikor, literally means somebody is drunk, but certainly if somebody is drunk, the avoda is certainly going to be invalid. So we're talking about somebody who got drunk not on an alcoholic beverage, but for example on milk. Ubaale negaim torim, somebody who has negaim toras, which is a physical manifestation of a spiritual disease. But when the kohen would see it, he'd say it's tahar, it's not tamei. So he has a nega, he has this affliction, but it's not tamei, it's tahar. Psulim be'adam, all of these that we've listed now, they are going to invalidate a person talking about the coin. The coin cannot do the avoda. Ukshem be'behema, and if a behema had any of these, it would not invalidate that behema from being brought as a korban. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, shota be'behema ena mina muvchar, even though a shota, an insane animal, is a psul that would not invalidate an animal, just a person, but still you don't want to choose. It's not the ideal to choose an animal that is a shota. Rabbi Eliezer omer, apalei dildulim, psulim ba'adam, ukshem ba'behema. He adds on another psul. Bali dildulim is somebody who has strips of skin that are coming out of his skin. So that is a psul when it comes to a person, but that will not be a psul when it comes to behema. Mishnah Zayin, eluk sherim ba'adam, upsulim ba'ema. We're going to now reverse this. And we're going to talk about various psulim that are going to disqualify an animal, but not disqualify the kohen. We're going to see five. Osu v'espino is the first one. There's a lav in the Torah to shecht a parent and a child of an animal in the same day. If you shecht one of them, you have to wait till the next day. That psul would not exist for a kohen. In other words, if you have the kohen and the son, they can do the avoda together on the same day at the same time. That is not going to be a psul. Utrefa. Trefa is an animal that has a fundamental, a serious problem with it, health issue, that it will die within a year. If you have a kohen that has that same problem, that kohen will be able to do the avod in the Beis Hamikdash. V'yotze dofen, a C-section. C-section invalidates the animal, but does not invalidate the kohen. V'shene evda b'hen avera, for an avera was done to it, means that an animal that had relations to a person, or a person had relations to that animal is invalidated. But if a kohen had improper relations with someone, that would not invalidate the kohen from doing the avod in the Beis Hamikdash. V'shehemi sasa adam, if an animal killed a person, that animal cannot be brought as a korban. But if a kohen killed somebody, that kohen can still do the avodah. He cannot do duchening, because the hands that killed somebody, even accidentally, cannot be used to duchen, but the kohen can do the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. And now we're going to talk about two additional potential psulim that just apply to a kohen. We're not going to talk about animals in this vein. Hanose nashim ba'avera pasul. If we have a kohen who, in contradiction to the Torah, violated the requirements of the Torah, he married somebody who's not permitted to marry, like a grusha, a divorcee, or somebody who's a halala, has the wrong lineage to be married to a kohen, or a zona prostitute, he married her. If he is in the midst of doing that vote, in other words, that's before we get to that, he has to divorce her in order to be able to do the avoda. But what happens if he's doing the avoda right now? So he can't divorce her right on the spot. She's not around. What he has to do is ad shiyadir hanaya. He has to make a neder. He's not going to have hanaya from her. She's not going to have hanaya from him. And then he can complete the avoda, and thereafterward he will give her her get. Hamitam of the mesim apostle. Somebody who is the type of person, a kohen, cannot be mitam of the mesim for the most part. There are certain times that he can, but he has to be very careful about tuma. But we have a kohen who's the type of person. He's not careful about tuma. We're not going to let him do the avoda in the beis hamikdash ad sheyakabel alav shelo yehi mitam of the mesim, until he makes a commitment that I am not going to be mitam of the mesim only when permitted by the Torah. Once he makes that commitment, he will be permitted to do the avoda in the beis hamikdash.